Good morning, Harmony Chuluka Lake. Why don't you rise in body and spirit and worship with us this morning? Worshiping together. into this next song. Feel free to continue standing in worship with us, or you may take your seat. But I love this song because the lyrics and the message are so simple. It simply says, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. So no matter what you are going through, no matter where you are in your life, know that Jesus is there for you. He's there to love you and to help you break any chains that are binding you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Sing that out with me.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
wherever you are in your spirit, just sing that out.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. Amen. Make your way to your.
Some days worry, some days glad. Some days more than make you mad. Some days more than shine. When you see what's coming on down the Some days you say, oh, not me, never. Some days you say, bless God forever. Some days you say, curse God and die. And the day comes when you wrestle with that lie. Some days tussle, and some days groan, and some days don't even leave a bone. Some days you hustle all alone. I don't know, sister, what I'm saying. Nor do no man if he don't be praying. I know that love is the only answer, and the tightrope's lover the only dancer. When the lover come off the rope today, the net which holds him is how we pray. And not to gods unknown, but to each other. The falling mortal is our brother. Some days leave, some days grieve. Some days you almost, you don't believe. Some days more than make you glad. Some days more than shine. Witnesses coming on down the line. Witnesses coming on down.
Gosh, what a blessing to have somebody share their gifts like that with us every week. Fabulous. Thank you. So today we're continuing the sermon series entitled Compassion 2018, a series that's based loosely on the book Compassion in Practice, which was written by Dr. Frank Rogers, who was one of my professors in seminary. For Frank, compassion is living as the way of Jesus. It's not just a feeling or a sentiment, but it's a way of life. Frank preached at the Hollywood campus last weekend and held a workshop here on Saturday, both of which I was blessed enough to be able to attend. And nobody tells a story like Frank does. And as one of the founders for the Center for Engaged Compassion at Claremont School of Theology, he has a lot to teach all of us about living the compassionate way of Jesus. I greatly enjoyed both of these events and felt inspired to do better at loving others and myself. And this lasted all the way until lunchtime on Sunday after church. I had to go grocery shopping on my way home, and I was in the express lane at Ralph's, which clearly stated about 15 items. As I looked up to see what was taking so long, I noticed the person in front of me had a lot of goods on their belt. And so I counted them. And there was 33. I started to get angry. And I really had to check myself and remind myself everything that I had just learned that very morning. This is not an easy task before us, my friends. So today we're considering how we see ourselves as beloved children of God and how we need to offer that same compassion we show to others to us, to ground our lives in taking care of our own self, and why that is so important in living a life that is truly centered on compassion. Loving our own self is not an easy thing to do. We are our worst critics, often judging ourselves more harshly than we do others or than others do us, asking more of ourselves than we do of other people, and expecting more and greater results from us than we do from those we encounter every day, and often punishing ourselves when we fail. Wouldn't life be so much easier if we were more like our pets? I've talked about my dogs to some of you before, but here they are on my bed with no room for me. The big guy, his name is Dodger, and he's 8 years old, and he's my golden, who weighs in at just over 70 pounds. He's a great dog, a typical golden, quiet, plays with the other two babies, eats well, and is even empathetic. When I came back from the UK last time and had caught a cold with jet lag, it meant I had to take a nap. And waking up groggily and not feeling good, I looked down and there was Dodger's head, resting on my knee, making sure I was okay and feeling loved. However, Dodger does not suffer with any kind of self-doubt or lack of self-confidence, despite sometimes letting himself behave in a way which is not to my best interest. When we walk out, all four of us, Dodger is on my right side by himself and acts as a kind of counterbalance for the two little guys who are together on the other side. They're young, they're cockapoos, they're crazy. So I have 40 pounds of crazy on one side and 70 pounds of placid golden on the other side, and it generally works. Until we see a squirrel. I have to spend the entire walk watching his ears for that telltale sign when they spring up, point forward, and let me know that the dance for control is about to begin. The crazy pair on the other side pretty quickly pick up on Dodger's excitement, and it's literally all I can do to hold them all steady until the offending squirrel is safely up a tree, the leaves have stopped quivering, and we can calmly continue on our walk. I know that Dodger knows that this is hard for me. He can see I'm struggling to maintain control of them all. He hears me yelling, begging, pleading for calm, and yet he carries on, regardless of all of that, unstoppable in pursuit of the prize, although what he would ever do if he actually caught a squirrel, I can't imagine. He doesn't repent of his sins. He doesn't give any indication that he feels bad for losing control. He doesn't beat himself up for not doing better. He just wants to carry on and find some more squirrels. He doesn't care about the superior stares I get from the other dog walkers who are calmly walking along with their super obedient dogs by their side. He knows I'm upset, and yet it doesn't bother him. He doesn't bother with how his actions have made me feel or get upset with himself for doing those things which are so instinctive to him. And of course, we don't want to be exactly like that ourselves, but we do want to be able to give ourselves some grace, to love ourselves, to accept our shortcomings, to delight in our abilities, and to love ourselves just as God loves us. Frank explains that the path Jesus teaches us is one of personal restoration, a restoration which flows from our hearts. A good and healthy heart allows the flow of love and compassion to come forth effortlessly, bearing much fruitfulness, while a heart which is bound up in negative emotions, such as irritability or anger, produces bad fruit. This restoration, Frank says, transforms a hard heart into a supple one. Each and every one of us is born and created in the image of God. And as such, we are born with compassion at our core. The world and all its brokenness may have worked to lock that compassion away in our hearts, making it hard to reach and inaccessible at times, creating an outer shell on us which is hard and uncaring, more selfish and self-centered. When we work on ourselves to crack that outer shell and unbind our hearts from the hardness which can surround them, then we relax and our natural innate selves are allowed to flourish and grow. Frank quotes an Eastern proverb which tells us, when the eye is unobstructed, the result is sight. When the ear is unobstructed, the result is hearing. When the mind is unobstructed, the result is wisdom. And of course, when the heart is unobstructed, the result is love. So how do we work towards this unbinding of our hearts? How do we work towards restoring our own compassionate core? How do we come to a place where we listen to ourselves and examine our own responses to situations in the same way that we listen to the responses of others when they come to us for help? We need to start by listening to ourselves, examining why we are responding to a situation in a certain way, develop an understanding of what is behind our response, and then respond to ourselves with love, with care, and with compassion. When we listen to ourselves and understand how we are reacting and why, then we are able to be more compassionate with ourselves, to accept and understand our reactions, and to change the outward manifestation of them into a more loving and compassionate view of ourselves, to love ourselves as God loves us. When we give ourselves the grace which God gives us and which we give others, our perspectives are changed, our reactions are changed, and our heart becomes less bound, softer, and unobstructed. Connecting our hearts with God's heart in a way which works most meaningfully for us is how we remind ourselves of that love and compassion which is innate in us. Jennifer Fisher in her blog tells us that cultivating a relationship with Jesus, reminding yourself that you are loved just as you are, and returning that love through compassion for yourself and others, brings you closer to wholeness with God. We are made perfect through God's grace and compassion. By practicing mindfulness, we can begin this journey of unbinding our hearts. Mindfulness is the art of listening to ourselves, of paying attention to our thoughts, our physical sensations, and the environment around us, but without making any judgments or trying to change the way it is. It is the practice of being awake to what is happening, to being open to whatever we are feeling, and of being kind to ourselves. Jesus practiced mindfulness throughout his life. He deliberately and often took himself away from the crowds and from his disciples. He took fasting retreats in the wilderness. He went alone to pray and to be with God. he was mindful of himself, of God, of his relationship with God, and of his relationship with himself. Mindfulness practice also has roots in Buddhism, and practicing mindfulness is the process which brought Buddha to enlightenment. It can also be found in Taoism, yoga, and other Eastern philosophies, as well as in Native American wisdom. There are many different ways which allow us to practice mindfulness, which allow us to develop it as a habit, and therefore a different way of living our lives. These include meditation, devotional chanting, yoga, journaling, practicing gratitude, sacred art, prayer, lighting a candle at a mealtime. And all of these can deepen our consciousness of the present moment. They can help to make it real. When they are practiced regularly and with intention, they can help us uncover our human capacity for compassion, compassion for both others and for our own selves. For the last few months, we've been making weekly postings of different mindfulness practices on our Facebook page. These posts focus on a different area each week and are designed to offer various techniques for practicing mindfulness in a way which is most meaningful to you. My very first class at seminary was spiritual practices, and I had no idea what to expect. There were 50 students all together in a room, and the very first thing we were required to do was to meditate for 5 minutes. I was very skeptical, labeling it in my head as that hippie mumbo-jumbo and certainly not something I would ever find useful. And 5 minutes is a very, very long time, especially when you're in complete silence and a room full of strangers. Each day of the class, the amount of time we meditated for was increased, and the methods we used were altered. It only took about 3 days for me to become hooked. By the end of the week, a 30-minute meditation literally flew by, and I was often disappointed when it came to an end. For me, music is very effective. It allows me to center myself and to allow my mind to go wherever the music takes me. Other people prefer silence or spoken words. Some like to sit still, to walk, or lie down. We're all different. And believe me, it's worth the exploration time to find out what method works best for you. Psalm 46, verse 10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God." This verse is very commonly used in mindfulness practices and is one which can be used anywhere you are. Repeating the words of the phrase and contemplating on what they mean to you in the given moment is an effective way of centering yourself and focusing in your thoughts, feelings, and emotions in any given moment. So let's try it right now. In a moment, there'll be a video. It has words and sounds as well as images. Take a few deep breaths. Focus yourself. Close your eyes if that works better for you.
Be still and know that I am God.
Once we can show ourselves compassion and love ourselves as we are loved by God, then we can fully love God, truly live a life of compassion, follow the way of Jesus, and see both ourselves and those we encounter as beloved children of God, created in God's image. Amen.
Thank you again for coming to join us, Harmony Toluca Lake. If this is your first time here, you're welcome to join us every Sunday. And to the saints that have been here every Sunday, welcome back and thank you. All right, it's the last song. You guys are going to have to clap. Come on. Come on. You've got some praise. Wonderful week.